Welcome to Manager Tools.
This is Kate.
And this is Sarah.
Today's podcast, Everybody Has Too Much Work to Do, part 2 of 2.
The questions this cast answers are, why does everyone feel so overworked? What can I do to help my team deal with their workloads? And how can I help my directs develop?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. As we get going, results, growth, and leader development are an executive's main responsibilities. Manager Tools and our team will work with you to help your team understand how to achieve these responsibilities. We're offering on-site training that will focus on the effective executive trinity: strategy, operations, and people. This one-day engagement can be delivered either standalone or can include an additional 5 months of coaching to support your team's implementation of the plans made during the workshop. Contact Maggie at maggie@managertools.com to schedule a training event for your executives.
We as managers, we as individuals sometimes forget about, I'm going to say the good parts, right, of the too much work situation. And now, hopefully we've convinced you that too much work is the best choice. And I hope that for you, because that's how it's designed. So it's not like you have much of a choice in it. And now let's talk about how to handle your too much work issues. The first, via communication or through communication. Now, we've made the case against the idea that there's actually too much work. So now that we know that, what do we actually do about it? And the first thing any reasonable and effective manager would do is talk about it. Be open with your team. Let them know that there is too much work to do. Be just really straightforward about it. Hey, folks, there's more work to do than we can get done. Tell them why. Tell them why there's too much work.
Or why it feels like too much work to them.
Yeah, exactly. Why it feels like too much work to them.
Because definitely when you continue to add to people's workload, they often, some of them, especially top performers, they get more efficient. And what was too much work becomes reasonable. And this cycle continues. If you're a licensee, you can share with your directs the show notes for this podcast. They can read them. If you're not, you can have them listen to this podcast, which is, of course, free and available to you. And you can add it to your podcast catcher or whatever, however you do that. So communicate. When you get complaints or even just comments about excessive workloads, take a minute. Explain, hey, this is the way that organizations are built. Explain that too little work is dangerous and probably a sign that the organization is suffering. They'll understand inherently that the exact right amount of work is impossible and not a steady state. But communicate, teach your directs and your organization that this is the way it's always been and it will always be this way. Explain that by doing more, which of course we couldn't do if there wasn't too much work. We help the organization to do more, and organizations are supposed to grow, showing that products and services are successful, serving more of society. That's the idea of an organization.
Exactly.
So we keep trying to expand the reach of the organization. And frankly, that expansion is always going to be pushing at the leading edge. And if you're only serving part of the market, of course there's more to do.
Absolutely. And folks, what Kate's really getting at is folks are going to complain. But why wouldn't they? Remember, maybe what? A podcast ago, you just learned that too much work to do was a design. And now you know that. So don't fault them for complaining about it or thinking that there's something somehow wrong with the fact that there's too much work to do. Of course they feel that way. Many people feel that way. Let them know too much work means they'll be given increasing responsibilities, which will help their career by making them more upwardly mobile and giving them additional skills that if they didn't have all this work to do, they wouldn't have otherwise. More work is usually new work that they haven't done before. So more work is an essential educational tool for our organizations. Help your directs understand that having too much work stresses them, sometimes too much, but usually not, and that actually increases their overall stress tolerance and helps them strive to do more and better work. Explain to them the manager tools 150% rule. You'll have to be able to do your own job 100%, and then also learn to do roughly 50% of your boss's job before you'll be moved into a higher ranking position. So this temporary stress of too much work to do is really the only way to prove to the organization you deserve a promotion. And most of our directs want that.
And when we talk about this, I fear that the perception is that what we're suggesting is you have to be bandwidth level capable of all of your work and 50% of somebody else's work. That's not what we're suggesting. What we're suggesting is you proving that you are capable of, yes, the job that you're doing, which you will no longer have to do if you get promoted.
Yeah, exactly.
But that you're capable in terms of skill set of 50% of the next job. That's the goal. Because, y'all, executives are evaluated not on whether or not their people get promoted, rather upon whether or not when their people get promoted, they do well.
Yeah.
And the best way to set yourself apart as a manager is to prepare your directs to do well in the next role, which you can do by delegating. So, and even small stuff, small repetitive things that you may not think of. I tried to convince some people today to delegate some of their meetings. People always tell me how much they hate meetings. And then I say, hey, send your direct, because guess what? They didn't get training on how to run meetings when they went to get their MBA. And people say, oh, no, I couldn't do that. Okay, well, then stop telling me about your meetings, because obviously you want to go to them or you wouldn't go to them. So, okay, we have to also explain to our directs that when tough times come and layoffs may be happening at certain times, it's those that accomplish the most work and that are the most productive that are most likely to keep their jobs. And hey, yeah, okay. What that means is if you're the least productive, you're doing the least work, you're most at risk.
That's absolutely true. Folks, what we're saying is don't just, when your directs talk about the fact that they feel like there's too much work to do, just shrug your shoulders and say, well, it is what it is. When you do that, you imply that what they're experiencing is somehow wrong. And as we established, it's not. The reasons for it are very clear. And for the firm, they're the right decisions. It's your responsibility to the firm to support what the firm is doing, which is, let me be perfectly clear, the exact same thing every other firm is doing. It's not just the place that you work. It's the place that all of the people work. If you just shrug your shoulders, you're basically taking the side of your team. And managers need to always remember, welcome to they. We've got a podcast for that. If you're unfamiliar with it, go find it. Welcome to they. As managers, our first responsibility is not to our team, but to the organization. As a manager, you speak for the organization. That means defending without being defensive. There's not really a need to be defensive, but it means defending and supporting what the organization does relative to workload, regardless of how our directs feel about it.
All of this communication is especially important for less experienced professionals, people who are younger in their career. Help them understand it now and help create a generation of work-enabled and people who are understanding. That sentence came out really clunky. What I mean is this will enable people to understand, hey, this is how it is. This is normal. And why it is this way, it reduces the stress of too much work thing. It's like, oh, well, okay. Then there's, I think, a level of comfort with, okay, this is totally normal, understanding the rationale and knowing that, yeah, it's not always like without stress. And it's kind of like accepting that what you're doing has some risk, right? Like, you can think to yourself, yeah, okay, I feel stressed. And I accept that.
Yeah. So the first thing we did to help us overcome this too much work to do feeling that folks have is by communicating. Next, how to handle it using delegation. Now, folks, we've been talking about the delegation cascade for 20 years now. The delegation cascade being vice presidents delegate work to senior directors, who delegate work to directors, who delegate work to managers, who delegate work to individual contributors. It's a cascade, as you can see. One of the systems that helps us operate internally in successful companies is this cascade. Work being pushed to lower levels and lower levels whenever it's possible. And what this does, it frees up the most senior people to work on things that only they can do, while simultaneously teaching lower levels how to do things previously done by more senior people. And also, as you can see, work gets done less expensively than if it were done by someone at a higher level in the organization.
Yeah, we're constantly reducing the cost of labor of work that has been done for a while moving in new directions. It's, you know, Steve Jobs says, hey, we're going to make iPhones. Cool. There's only one person who can enable the whole of Apple to move into a new product line. That has to be a decision made at the Steve Jobs level. He doesn't have time to do all the other things he was doing and help get a new factory built up and make design choices and spin up entire groups. Okay, so he has to delegate some stuff. The next guys are pretty busy. They delegate some stuff, so on and so forth. Because again, there's some things that have to happen at the top level. There's some things that the manager, the executive, the senior director, only they can do that their direct can't do.
Yes.
If you're a manager, what all this boils down to is that you're obligated to delegate. And like I said, I tell this to people all the time. And sometimes people say, oh, you're wrong. It's my boss delegating to me that's increasing my workload. So they think that, oh, it's a negative because they're getting too much work and therefore they don't want to inflict that on their direct. But y'all, if this is what you're feeling, you're missing the fundamental point. You're supposed to be delegating from your workload to your directs to free up your time to do the delegations from your boss. That's the delegation cascade. That's you being a part of it. It's how successful companies work. If you're not doing this, you're not doing your job. And worse, you're causing the very problem of too much work by not engaging in the cascade. You are the little boy with your finger in the dam, and the water is rising. And if you keep your finger in that dam, it will break and you will all drown. But if you let it flow and you let it go past you a little bit too, guess what? Everyone could go swimming.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I think, again, going back to our previous, many individuals within organizations don't realize it's supposed to be this way. Not realizing it's supposed to be designed in such a way that there's more work to do than people employed to do it. Not realizing that you're supposed to delegate. It's the design of our organizations in order to deal with what we've created, an organization with too much work to do. Now, folks, we're not going to go over all of the tactics for the what and the high, what and the why and the how to delegate. We've got to have at least over 20 podcasts about what and how and why and when and all of the parts about delegation. You can go ahead and you can find that in our Map of the Universe on our website. In our recent Tetris Workload Battle podcast, we also briefly recovered our guidance on delegating to the floor for what happens when individual contributors have more work to do because they've been delegated to, and in turn have no one to give their leftover work to. So there's tons of podcasts about actual delegation. We won't go into actual delegation today.
Right. Instead, we're just going to encourage you, start delegating. And if you're a senior manager and above, insist that your subordinate managers do so as well. Ask them for regular updates on what they've delegated recently. Look, if you're one of those silly managers who tells your directs that they and only they can do the things you delegate to them, you're making a huge mistake and destroying trust as well. You're robbing your people of developmental opportunities. You're keeping them from the best and newest work, the new initiatives, the new product lines, etc. You're not supposed to be protecting them from workload. You're supposed to be helping them grow and keep up. Hey, y'all, just a quick note. starting June 9th, we will be hosting an online Effective Manager Conference at 10 a.m. Eastern. It's over a few weeks, and if you're looking for guidance on how to be a good manager virtually, you can come to this four-session online event over Zoom. Learn one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation from the comfort of your own office. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
Okay, so we covered how to handle too much work using communication. That was delegation. And now using prioritization. When we have too much work to do, whether you realize it consciously or not, we choose to only do some part of it and not to do some other part of it. I mean, we don't really think about it, but we do this activity every single day. We all know this because we have never had someone say yes to the question, do you get all of your work done every single day? Most people are like, I don't get all of my work done ever. Never mind at the end of the day. And because all of us go home at the end of every workday with work left incomplete, we have for that day prioritized what we will do and therefore what we will not do that day.
Every minute you spend working on something, project A, let's say, you're not working on project B. You're prioritizing project A. And that may be by default. It may be haphazard. It may be that you came in and just got trapped in a meeting about project A when you should have been working on project B because it's more important. Sometimes it's frantic. You may be wondering if you're working on the right stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the time that you spend on a project is basically you prioritizing that. It's coming first because you only have this minute. Look, we can tell you what executives do who have more work than anybody else and arguably more important work than anybody else. They also prioritize. Make choices. Executives don't get all their work done every day either. And what executives do better than most of us is focus not on the feeling of having too much work to do, but doing all they can in order of their prioritization. The focus for executives, effective executives, is not on the fear of being wrong or the amount of work that didn't get done, but rather on getting the work they decide to do done well. They're deciding.
That's exactly it. So folks, managers, we're on Manager Tools today, we're talking to managers. What this means is do your own prioritization and share your prioritization with your team. Teach them that there's too much work to do and every minute spent worrying about all this work that isn't getting done is time not spent getting done the most important aspects of your role, your priorities. As the saying goes, worrying is like a rocking chair, gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. So talking about it and complaining about it and griping about this, we have too much work to do. Yeah, that doesn't do the work. It doesn't make us any better. It's just work on our priorities.
And we ask our directs to work on this same set of priorities, which is, if you're asking your directs to support your priority list, okay, good. You have to communicate that priority list. You have to make sure they know. And there's a really easy way to do this. You just tell them what you're working on. Tell them what you're not working on. Put it on your calendar. That's one way to do it. If you're working on something that isn't in your priorities, well, you shouldn't be. If they are, tell them to stop.
Yeah.
Tell them, hey, that's not important right now. Don't work on that anymore. It's not a priority here. When there's too much work to do and we have to be aligned on our priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to them about what it is we're getting done, what we're not getting done. Again, some of the ways you can do this is your calendar. What you're working on can be in your calendar. And look, they might say, well, we have to. So-and-so said such and such. All you have to do is tell them, no, you don't have to do that. I'm the one who's ultimately responsible. I'm saying, don't do it. If anybody argues, tell them to come to me. Say, go talk to Kate. Yeah, get in trouble every once in a while. Sure. And we'll have to adjust. For now, somebody has to make the decision.
Yeah, We all make choices every day. They're not necessarily always the right choices, but someone's got to make them and you're the manager.
They're also not always on purpose. That's what I don't think people realize is when you go to work on something, there is an inherent choice behind that action that says, I'm not working on this other thing.
Yeah, exactly.
People go to their desk and they do sometimes just the first thing that pops into their mind as opposed to what needs to get done that day. It also causes so much more stress when you know you're not working on the thing that's most important. So why it's sometimes why meetings are so stressful too, because you're in a meeting and you know that maybe the work that needs to get done isn't getting done. So please, y'all, don't assume that, oh, I am making the right choices. Take a look at your workload. What are you spending your time on? Are you spending it on the right things? Or is it possible that you're not making conscious decisions about where to put your efforts?
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely it. Folks, we talk a lot at our conferences, again, about delegation and prioritization. And Mike, one of our co-founders, tells a story of taking over a new team when he switched companies many years ago. There were all these boxes of computer reports that part of his team was preparing and sending out to a distribution list. He simply asked, being new, hey, what are these for and who do these go to? And he ultimately, based upon the answers, thought that the work being done was stupid and useless, and he said so. He asked the recipients of the report what they did with them, and virtually everyone said they didn't read them. So he went to the team who prepared those reports and said, don't work on them anymore. And he worked with their direct manager to figure out how else these people could be utilized. At our conferences, we're talking to folks and they're always like, oh my gosh, I can't have people stop doing reports just because no one's reading them. Of course you can. It doesn't mean that you're going to get in trouble. You might, but sometimes it means you're freeing people up to do something much more valuable and important to the organization. So you can't simultaneously complain about there's too much work to do while also allowing people to do stuff that is completely unimportant and of zero value to the organization. And that could be happening as well.
Right. Because even at the time, the people who were putting those reports together knew that nobody was reading them.
Yeah.
If they had been being read, people would have had questions or requests for data, modifications, updates, etc. And there weren't.
Yeah, no one asked about them.
Which means that the people putting together those reports were probably so unsatisfied, so sad. I would have been devastated to know that I went in every single day and just prepared paper with numbers that went into the ether. Like,
oh,
didn't go anywhere. Nobody reads. That's no satisfaction from that.
No satisfaction. And then surely this had to happen. I'm certain of it. An individual in the organization said to one of the people who creates the reports, well, what about this? And that person said, it's in the report I send. I didn't get that report. It further solidifies this. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I'm doing all this work and no one's paying any attention to it. People want to do things that are valuable to the organization, robbing them of that ability because you don't want to delegate something that's not useful, not good as a manager. Periodically, we would suggest you ask your directs and have them ask their directs, if they've got directs of their own, what are you working on? And don't be afraid to change what they're doing to align with your priorities. Then ask, what are you working on that you think we shouldn't be working on? And if you can, again, tell them to stop. Tell them to spend the time that they were working on those non-priority issues instead on things that are on the priority list. Those are the important things that need to get done for the organization. You can be assertive about it and make sure that they know that you are the one that made the decision. And anybody who questions why we're not doing this anymore should be referred to you. Like Kate said a minute ago, Kate said, I shouldn't do this. I don't know, maybe ask Kate. Most of the time, the questioner hearing that will be like, oh, well, if she said it, I guess, never mind. And they'll go away. And then it'll be like a big old nothing burger. That's it. If they don't, if that's not enough Tell them why you're not doing it and show them your priorities. Okay, well, we didn't do it because we're doing this, this, and this. And maybe it will be escalated, this, well, she's not working on my thing, but maybe it won't. You'll win more than you'll lose.
Also, so much of the stuff that we're doing for other teams often is something that can be done really quickly. And if somebody comes in and says, hey, we actually really needed this, there's a pretty solid chance that it could be put together in 20, 30 minutes if somebody were to stop everything else they were doing. It's pretty rare in my finding that the repetitive things that people come back and ask about, if they really have to get done, are going to take more than an hour. So we really can still get that thing done if it was necessary. And then that's a good way to, hey, find out that this thing that we thought wasn't important maybe actually is, which is pretty rare. All of this is nothing more than delegating to the floor. And again, to some extent, this happens every single day when you leave your desk and there is work not done. That work was effectively delegated to the floor for that day. Doing it every day. Not going to be too much of a deal. You also do it when you go on vacation.
Yeah, just exactly.
Side note.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of relief that comes from just casting those things that we're probably never going to get to aside and not having them lurk there as incomplete tasks.
Right.
Help your team with that activity. They deserve your help in doing so. Okay. So we talked about handling too much work using communication, delegation, prioritization, and now risk. Folks, there's always risk when we prioritize and delegate. There's the risk of being wrong about your priorities, but we all already work on our priorities and risk doing one thing when we should be doing another. We do it every day. We do some things instead of others. But it's far better to be clear about what the priorities are and doing the communication work of flowing your priorities down through your organization rather than just allowing every individual in your organization to choose their own personal priorities for that day without any guidance and without your protection as a manager about those choices that they are making every single day.
Right. So we tell our people that there's risk both in worrying about too much work and in stopping doing things that might be somewhat important, even if somebody else is the person who thinks they might be important, when those things aren't aligned with your priorities. The risk is different. Both things have risk. In both cases, you're not getting the work done. But in one case, you're being proactive about not getting that work done. So risk different. I find I'm more comfortable with risk if I've decided to allow it to happen, which is what's happening when you say, hey, we're not going to do this because it's not in line with our priorities. You're deciding what you're willing to get in trouble for.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
We've heard many times from CEOs who get briefed at a lower level on what a mid-level manager's team is working on, only to realize they're doing things at that lower level that don't align with the chief's plans, the priorities. And great chief executives just tell people to stop. A lot of them go back later and send down through the chain of leadership to have it just quit. Hey, let's not do this anymore. Here's the thing. We can assure you, your chief executive doesn't want to come down there and have to do your job for you. It's actually your job to decide.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. So, folks, to wrap it all up, we all have too much work to do. It's by design. That's the way it's supposed to be. So, there's no sense in worrying about it. Confront it. Take action. Communicate about it. Delegate. Prioritize. Be clear about the risk. And be clear that the right way to confront too much work is to accept it and not to worry about it, and work on what's important as you define it.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Kate.
That's all for this week, y'all. Join us again next week as we cover a new topic. And if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to follow, rate, and review our podcast. It helps more people find us and keeps the conversation going. Bye, everybody.
Bye.